Hi, guys. Here's my morning routine. First, I drink olive oil, like a lot of it. Yep, that's good. Then I stare at a red light. It's the kind that helps your cells positively glow. Oh, wow, really bright, okay. Next, I take an ice bath. That's how you melt your fat and fix your, I don't know, other stuff. Ooh, yep, feeling super healthy. Can't fit my toes. Breakfast is raw liver. Okay, here we go. Oh, real good.
If your health advice sounds strange coming from a kid, maybe it's just strange. Cygnos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. No fads, no fear, just your signal. Get $10 off select plans at cygnos.com. That's Cygnos.com with code SPARK. Cygnos.
When it comes to beef, there's not many out there who are willing to stand on business quite like Joe Budden. So today, we're going to be going through some of his most unforgettable clashes, from the ones where he barely scraped by to the ones where he faced total annihilation. Starting off with the chaotic downfall of Everyday Struggle, which at one point was seen as one of the greatest hip-hop shows of all time. In April of 2017, Joe started distancing himself from his rap career to become a media personality. And so he teamed up with Complex to launch a new show titled Everyday Struggle, a platform which pitted the old head Joe versus DJ Academics. With Nadeska Alexis mediating the debate, the daily YouTube show became a huge hit for Complex. And controversies like the infamous Lil Yachty Showdown, or the moment that Joe nearly got stomped out by the Migos at the BET Awards, helped make it a cultural phenomenon. But in December of that same year, Joe revealed that he'd be leaving the show just after 8 months on air. Suddenly, Everyday Struggle was left without its biggest cash cow, and fans were left without one of the people who helped make the show a must-watch. Still, Budden didn't back down or second-guess himself. Because if there's one thing about Joe, is that once he's made up his mind that a situation no longer benefits him, he'll tear it down to the foundations. I created that show. I'll create another if need be. It's when you can't create that you move without integrity. Shortly after the news broke, Joe went in on Complex during the latest edition of the JBP.
What it quickly became was the best hip-hop show ever, in my opinion. The dynamic between the three of us on that screen does not exist without everybody playing a part. I think that part from day one was disregarded and ignored by whoever it is that is running Complex. That's what I think.
From there, he went on to explain how he believed he and his co-hosts were undervalued by Complex, with the trio's show being mismanaged by the higher ups.
Fast forward, Spotify calls them. They want us to talk about a Rap Caviar playlist. They want to insert topics for me to speak about Candid under the guise of it being Candid for no money or very little money. As the creator of this show, that's a problem. So Joe says, no. Know what they said? You, Joe, we'll do it without you. Know what Spotify said? Sorry, Complex. No, you won't.
Despite Joe's departure, Complex attempted to retain the show's popularity with new co-hosts like Star and Wayno. However, they couldn't recapture the magic. And years on, it's clear that they couldn't make the commitment required to make them stick around. And as a result, they lost their most profitable show. Because as Joe explained during an off-the-record podcast with Academics, he wouldn't tolerate being given less than what he saw as his rightful piece of the pie.
I went to work for what? What was that, 22 grand a month? 19 after I paid Ian? And in my next cycle, I wanted it to double. When my contract was over, I wanted 50 grand a month. They came back and said something like 40. And I said, 40? They didn't.
They started to realize how hard it was to replace you. If it was an additional 10 grand a month, they, I believe, would have paid you.
They didn't, and they wouldn't.
Complex had something special that no other YouTube show they have today has been able to replicate. And to this day, people still miss it and blame the media company for how it all went down. Complex dropped the ball penny pitching in the short term, but lost a potentially game-changing show long term. Ack and Joe brought attention to Complex that wasn't previously there. Both Ack and Joe are thriving without Complex. When he left Everyday Struggle, Joe Budden presented himself as a man who took a stand for creator equity and a fair slice of the revenue for everyone who makes the the content what it is. But before long, Joe's next victims would accuse him of doing the same thing that he's accused both Complex and the podcast's former partner, Spotify, of. Since the JBP rose to prominence, Rory and Maul were the cornerstones of the show alongside Joe Budden. Their chemistry was amazing, and it seemed like the only way was up for the trio. But things went up in flames in May of 2021 when he infamously fired Rory on air.
He still feels like he has choices and options. He feels like he's entitled to more. Rory, you are in breach of your contract, and from this point forward, you are fired, and you're not welcome back. Does anybody in here have a problem that I'm the person that has to say that? Maul, I'm the person that has to say that. The gall of you to think that you are observing the way that I am. We have things sorely mistaken around here.
As opposed to coming from nowhere, there would be signs of what was to come, as there was constantly long-standing disputes over money.
There was a point during the podcast, I think y'all thought I was trying to keep us from the bag.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't that you were trying to keep us from the bag.
The three of us was just not on the same page. I think we skipped a week, if viewers can go back. That was because the three of us were screaming at each other in the face in the parking lot of the old spot.
Creators, gotta get by the creative differences.
With Rory and Maul asking for accounting that they never received, it was clear that the tensions were high and sometimes seeped into the airwaves during the latter stages of their career.
Sometimes you gotta fight your friends though, man.
I would not.
I don't.
I would not.
Who the f*** said we was friends?
After they were fired, Rory and Maul regrouped, signing on with Stitcher to drop a podcast of their own. But according to them, it wasn't for a lack of Joe attempting to stop them from moving on.
I'm never arguing about money, especially not with my n****s. I'm not doing that. But if every time we present some shit about accounting and you want to start arguing to them, well, audit me then. Fam, I'm never taking my n****s to court. And the first thing you say is, if y'all try to start a podcast, I'm suing the pants off of y'all. Who are you, my n****? Who did you just turn into? Everything that we stood for in this podcast all these years about, you know, corporate f- over the creatives and this, that. Like, I've seen Joe do f***ed up shit in business and music to companies and labels. But I don't care about that because they owe us anyway, so f*** them. Never in a million years did I think you would be sitting somewhere talking crazy about me.
Since then, both sides have tried their best to put the whole thing behind them. With Rory and Maul boasting 258,000 subscribers, they have carved a successful career on their own. But still, they're haunted by what happened. So when he was named among the most influential figures in hip-hop media in Complex, and they weren't, they threw some subs and referred to him as a thief.
Look at the cat burglar, staring off into the next house he wants to run in.
To no one's surprise, Joe clapped back on his next pod, sunning them about their business acumen and labeling them the bare minimum boys.
This is not even on page one of the manual, because you ain't in the bookstore. Instead of critiquing people's placement on this list, we need more critiquing on why you're not on it. To everyone not on it, shut the f*** up. There's some steps that you have missed. Stop holding the microphone. Like, if I'm just giving out podcast advice, it's certain y'all can't speak to me. Y'all didn't do the work yet. You didn't go in the bookstore.
Although Joe came for their necks, Rory and Maul tried to own it to the point that they would literally make merch for the Bare Minimum Boys label. But it's clear that there are some wounds that will never fully heal. Not to mention a whole host of money that had been missed out on as well. Speaking of which, Joe's decision to go after this rapper every single chance he gets has probably backfired on him, because there's no way he'd ever stop by the pod on his next media run. The artist in question is none other than Kanye West. Although they were on Def Jam around the same time, there's never been any kind of collaboration between Budden and Ye. In fact, Joe has claimed that when he was on the come up, he actively turned down Ye's request to perform at one of his shows. But where Budden is usually eager to shoot creative some bail, the same can't be said when it comes to Ye. As since everything started to go south in the MAGA hat era, Joe has been one of his fiercest critics.
Self-centered, self-absorbed, self-obsessed, selfish, all the selves except for self-aware. The only point that I'm making is all of his problems as of late are personal indictments against him. They're never for this greater good, this greater cause, than just speaking in fucking riddles.
Although he was happy to share his appreciation for the Donda record, and even took his own fan base by surprise with that, Joe has always been happy to pounce anytime that Ye slips up. To the point that in 2022, he even claimed his relationship with Julia Fox was fake.
Kanye, on the other hand, knock it off. You don't like this girl. You just being spiteful. My thing with Kanye and why it looks corny for him. Y'all went on a date and 6 days later there's an interview about the date. Somebody interviewed Julia Fox about the date y'all went on.
Then, after Ye was dropped by companies like Adidas and Gap amid the anti-Semitism scandal, Joe admitted to savoring every moment of it.
I've got to enjoy the self-destruction of Kanye West.
Today the shoe may be on Kanye, but tomorrow the shoe could end up on your foot, Joe. I would never enjoy anyone's self-destruction. Even up to the present day, Joe has stayed critiquing Ye whenever he...
Hi guys, here's my morning routine. First, I drink olive oil. Next, I take an ice bath. Ooh, feeling super healthy.
If your health advice sounds strange coming from a kid, maybe it's just strange. Cygnos pairs AI with a biosensor so you can track your body's unique responses to food, movement, and more in real time, helping you achieve your health goals. Get $10 off select plans at Cygnos.com. Cygnos.com with code SPARK. Cygnos.
Can. As when his new album Vultures dropped, he somehow managed to praise basically everything about it, except the man behind the project.
This is some bad rapping on here. I'm only talking about Kanye West. Freddie Gibbs went crazy. All the rappers I heard went crazy, except for Kanye West. He's just chanting.
Despite how much he intensely scrutinized him over the years, Ye has refused to take the bait and respond to Budden. But the same can't be said for the woman often known as the queen of rap, Nicki Minaj. The animosity between Nicki and Joe all began back in 2017 during the heyday of Everyday Struggle. On the show, Joe and Ak both cast doubt over the claims that Nicki, who seemed to actively diss Cardi B on the track, knew that she was on it. In response, Nicki accused them of pitting the two against each other. I was on the song with Quavo, no one else. He called and asked, I think we should put Barty on it. I said, okay, let's do it. The end. Even with the explanation that she offered, Joe wasn't buying it.
Nicki, just shut the f*** up. Who the f*** believes that? In her thinking, Quavo called and basically was looking for permission to put the group's or one of the group members' girlfriend on the song. How did Nicki think that conversation was gonna go? Nah, because Nicki, your brand is huge and you're huge superstar brand-wise, but you need that record and you need that look. You do, so what you was gonna say, no? Of course you were clearing it. If you were not gonna clear it, then when were you putting your Uzi record out? The record that Uzi did that your desperate ass hopped on immediately.
With Joe already doing enough to officially place himself on Nicki's extensive enemies list, things only got worse in 2018 when he accused her of having substance abuse issues.
Well, while you do that, let's all try to guess the drugs that Nicki Minaj is on. Nicki Minaj is 100% on something. I'm not trying to be funny here. Anybody that knows my history knows I'm definitely not trying to be funny. I really think that somebody should intervene. Like, I think that it's getting progressively worse.
For years, this controversy raged on, eventually culminating in a showdown on Nicki Minaj's Queen Radio.
What the f*** you won't do is disrespect me like I'm stupid. Because you know how intelligent and powerful I am. I'm so powerful, right, Joe?
Or because my mother raised me properly.
So your mother raised you to accuse people of being on drugs? When you've never met them a day in your life? That's what your mother raised you to do?
Although that was chaotic, the duo agreed to regroup on the JBP, where Nicki recorded the entirety of the show to her Instagram Live, just to ensure that things couldn't get misconstrued. Once again, Nicki went off.
That is what the f*** you said. You said, no. Hey, aren't you fueling it by response? Have you ever been bullied for 12 years straight?
Nicki Minaj, you did not get bullied for 12 years straight.
Have you ever been?
Straight.
Excuse me, since the day I got in the industry.
Us.
I'm gonna have my fans now start attacking you every f***.
Although it seemed like they had reached a truce by the end, people still weren't happy with how Joe and the crew spoke to Nicki, or how they basically tried to tell her that she was crazy, manipulating, gaslighting, mocking, catcalling, and so much bullying. Immense respect for Nicki. They just joke and downplay their words. Now at peace with one another, Joe Budden has gotten Nicki on his side, and these days, he's even taken her side in the beef with Megan Thee Stallion.
I've seen this woman do horrible things to some really great people that I have long-standing relationships with in this industry, so I'm biased. Like, you can't just treat my friends and people I fuck with and people I've seen in this game for 15 years a certain way.
If you guys aren't aware of this beef, I'm not gonna go too in depth on this video, but you can check out the full story on today's sponsor, Ground News. Ground News is a really dope website and app that helps you navigate through all the noise that comes with news sites. With so much information out there, it's important to get a full picture of what's going on, especially when headlines might not tell the whole story and rely on clickbait. Make sure you check them out at ground.news/luesta. Scan the QR code or click the link below to get 40% off their Vantage plan, which is the one I'm using. Ground News gathers thousands of articles from around the world, which shows us which way each news source leans politically, how trustworthy they are, and even who owns the publication, all checked by three independent news monitoring organizations. They also have great breakdowns of events we should all be aware of, like the banning of TikTok. Looking at this breakdown, I can see that over 380 articles have been published on this, with an even spread of left, center, and right-leaning sources. What I find really interesting is that sources on the left, like CNN, talk about the ban in the context of Trump, while right-leaning sources like the New York Post are focused on the pressure of Democrats as the bill enters the Senate. I like that Ground News lets us see different sides of a story, so we can make up our own minds about what's really happening, while not being fed false information from one side or another. If you want to know the truth and you're tired of news that's not straight, you should try Ground News. You can get a special deal by going to ground.news/Luesta to cut through the shady headlines and come to your own conclusions about the news. And if you subscribe to my link, you can get 40% off their Vantage plan. And lastly, I want to say thanks to Ground News for sponsoring this video. But the jury's out in terms of whether he ever truly made amends with Nikki or just basically let her feel heard just enough to let it go. But after all, Joe has had tricks up his sleeve since his days as an MC, and no one knows this better than Saigon. Back in 2009, Joe squared off with Saigon, another New York rapper, over a series of heated diss tracks, the most notable of which, Button's Pain in His Life response toward Saigon, which has been held up as one of the best diss tracks of all time by some hip-hop purists. So much so that when he went on Math Hoffa, My Expert Opinion podcast, he suggested that he won the battle, and he got absolutely cooked by the internet for it. I hope Saigon sees these comments and finally understands what happened. But what's interesting is that when Saigon discusses how the beef started, he suggests that it's all Joe's doing. And in hindsight, he believes that Button basically tricked him into beefing just to get some life back in his own career with a decisive victory in a rap battle.
The thing was, I still had that street mentality, so when he started throwing my name, he was just baiting me. I'm like, yo, when I see this guy, I'm approach him on some street shit. And then he hit me and was like, yo, what, you scared to battle? Like, I'm not a street dude. Like, he admitted it. Like, I don't want no street beef. But what, you scared? Why I gotta be some street shit? You're a rapper, right? You scared? You scared to battle me? He actually outsmarted me into battling him. I didn't even want to do that shit. Like, not my lane. Leave me alone, I mean. And he was like, oh, if you scared, man, just say you scared, it's all right.
In Saigon's case, he learns firsthand that Joe is not only a lyrical killer, but a master of mental warfare. But while Saigon couldn't handle it, the same cannot be said for Logic. Back in an era where everyone seemed to be dunking on Logic, Joe was one of those who took great pride in disliking the Maryland rapper. In fact, he basically told him that he was one of the worst rappers that he ever heard.
I'm gonna be honest with you. I don't know what they tell you at Def Jam. I know you sold a lot of records. I know you sell out a whole bunch of tours, and I know just how successful you are. I have to be honest. You are horrible, man.
Now, we all know that Logic isn't truly one of the most least talented MCs to ever grace a mic. Sure, his style might not be for everyone, but he can definitely spit. Well, unfortunately, Logic is a man who takes criticism hard, and in this sense, he might have been one of Joe's biggest victims to date. In terms of how he handled the flack he got from Joe, Logic basically said that it was a contributing factor to him retiring.
I read this and my heart rate explodes and I'm like, oh my God. And I go out and I'm at like the Garden and everyone's like rapping my lyrics and shit or whatever. And I'm like, I'm a failure. What I'm saying is, at that moment, it was the height of me caring about what other people say. It was the height of people's opinions on me bearing deep into my heart and affecting my everyday life. And after that, I was like, I can't do this anymore.
Once Logic did formally announce his retirement with no pressure, Joe celebrated the occasion on the podcast.
Logic, you don't get to announce this. Is he talking about?
Why?
Because we don't care.
They happy that he's leaving. Why you think? why you think I got the celebration song queued up, man?
But on the very next show, he backtracked.
Last week, I came in here feeling pretty tumultuous, fresh out of Twitter jail, unable to properly read the room, and just hating myself and life, honestly. And unfortunately, I projected some of that onto you, Lodge, and for that, I want to apologize. That was wrong of me. I should be able to think that you aren't the best rapper in the world, but celebrate your retirement. Because that is a time where somebody should be happy and look back in their career and get their shit off and be with their fans. Nobody wants to hear from this
old grumpy saying you and shut up. Especially after that guy was allowed to retire peacefully.
As for Logic, Joe's comments were too little too late. Because as he revealed to Peter Rosenberg, they literally put him through a depression.
I've never watched Joe. I just don't, because I don't want to subject myself to that shit personally. So I didn't see the apology. I also didn't see like his review of the album or any of this. He doesn't rap anymore. The culture and this and that. This dude doesn't like me for whatever reason. He's a person who's led to some of my darkest spaces, and he can take that. Bro, your words make people want to themselves, right?
Still, all of this time later, and even with Logic explaining the effect this had on him, Joe still can't help himself. So after Logic returned, Joe routinely clowned him and asked the artist to go back into retirement.
Logic, I hate to continue to make a career at your expense. I don't hate it, actually. I'm glad that I have a little list to you that I get to... That's horrible to say. One day I'm gonna grow up. Logic, I beg of you. I'm pleading with you. Please, join me in retirement. Never step near a recording device again. Throw your phone in the ocean. Be allergic to microphones. Promise your fans nothing. Don't go to the studio ever again. You are the worst, yo. You are really, really bad.
Joe is still giving Logic a really hard time today. And recently, Joe Budden slammed Logic's emotional interview with his father, saying that he wanted to smack him.
I wanted to smack Logic for talking to dad.
Yeah, that was crazy right there.
And I cut it off. It was much longer than that.
Where Logic became one of Joe's verbal punching bags because he didn't respect him as a rapper, it turns out that letting Joe down can get you clowned just as hard. And this was something Jay Electronica found out firsthand. In March of 2020, Jay Electronica finally dropped his debut album, but it wasn't the album that people had waited over 10 years for, as it had a feature from Jay-Z on every track. As it dropped, people were shocked that Hove brought his A-game to the point that he overshadowed the near-mythical pen game of Electronica. And as for who was leading that charge, it was none other than Joe Budden himself.
I feel like he got outperformed.
As a rapper, I'm telling you, he got smacked around. There's mad distance between those two people. Between that Exhibit C performance.
Okay, gotcha.
And pick any performance on this project. I don't think that Jay Electronica has very much to say. That's what I left this album feeling like. I hate this album. What y'all talking about?
Fresh from listening to Joe tear his work apart, Jay Elect hopped on Twitter to act like he was unfazed. "I never heard your albums, bro," he said. "May Allah bless your career as a journalist." As it turns out, Joe can be just as passive-aggressive and hit back even more savagely. "I took you off yours, and it's a Hove mixtape now. Peace be unto you as well, King." To make this L even more solidified for Jay Elect, it was later revealed that even though he acted like he wasn't really familiar with his catalog, the mysterious MC was once a fan of Joe's and even complimented him after he caught one of his live shows. "Which exhibit is this?" said one user.
"As an MC, because he ain't on no pretension. Honest about this life. That's what he's giving you."
After schooling Jay Elect when it came to the art of war, it's often the case that Joe is just too well-versed in beefing. But what happens when Budden meets someone who can match him when it comes to capacity for insults and influence in hip-hop? This, until recently at least, has been the case when it comes to his on-and-off beef with Charlamagne Tha God. Although they've occasionally linked up to collaborate on content, the two most loud-mouthed individuals in hip-hop have been at odds for years. In terms of when things really heated up between them, it can be traced to when Joe Budden had dissed Meek Mill for seemingly changing for his then-girlfriend Nicki Minaj. Soon, Charlamagne awarded him with Donkey of the Day and pointed to the domestic abuse allegations that he had been hit with over the years to put him on blast.
"Scumbag Joe Budden. No wonder you hate seeing Meek treat Nicki Minaj good. Joe Budden, you gotta shut the F up forever, okay? The one thing you should not be commenting on ever is how somebody treats their woman in a relationship. What disgusts me is how disgusted you sound about a man treating a woman nice. You got all this turmoil consistently in all your relationships."
Aired out for his past indiscretions, Charlamagne refused to back down. So when Joe finally got to appear on The Breakfast Club again when promoting his final album, he called the radio host out for what he saw as unfair treatment.
"Charlamagne went real hard when that whole Meek. He went like extra, 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 extra hard. We played the audio from the podcast, but it's taken out of context if you're not listening to the entire conversation. So that's what happens a lot in media today. You just snatch a quick bite, and then that's what it is. He said he's changing, man. And Charlamagne, Donkey of the Day, it was hard and rude. And then Drake comes right behind me and says the same thing. And sends you some bottles. And now you're like, hey, Meek, get
tweet about it.
Feeling like he had been given unfair treatment at the hands of Charlemagne, this would birth Joe Budden's belief that Charlemagne was carrying out a one-man campaign against him. And over time, he'd have plenty of evidence to back up this claim. Like when things went wrong at Spotify and he turned down $20 million, Charlemagne didn't hesitate to shade him again.
It sounds to me like Joe Budden is a person who knows his worth, but doesn't know how to properly negotiate it. Because if you keep doing deals with various corporations and you keep getting trash ass deals, that's on you. If you keep having the same issues with various companies because it was the same thing at Complex, it's probably not them, it's probably you, Joe. You may know your worth, but you have to know how to properly negotiate.
But at this point, Joe finally had enough. As while Joe is the master of his own platform, Joe was happy to point out that Charlemagne was just an employee.
Charlemagne, you're not gonna get it because I own this. My most valuable, my most powerful, my most accomplished asset, I own it. Ownership. You see all these black people running around preaching ownership, ownership? There's a reason for it.
Later, Joe explained why he felt the need to do this, linking it back to the idea that Charlemagne had some kind of vendetta against him.
You're trying to get a new deal, and one of the more powerful voices in black media goes on the airwaves and defames you or lowers your worth and value or paints you in a way, then what do you call that? And that's before I get into the smear campaign part of the smear campaign.
But rather than let it go, this is something that Joe has always harbored.
I got on Charlemagne because he appeared to be going out of his way to devalue me. One of the most prominent voices in this media thing, for that one instance where it appeared that I was down, used all of his platforms and all of his might to continue to push the narrative that Joe f***ed it up. Since 2010, he has sat on that platform kicking my back in. Anybody that had something negative to say, he spoke to him. He added fuel to anything that was negative Joe.
But where it could be argued that it's Joe that's the victim here, the truth of the matter is that he's just biding his time and painting himself as the good guy in the situation. But now that things are getting a bit rocky at the Breakfast Club, Joe is quick to declare that it's over for Charlemagne, shading him in the process.
Charlemagne should be trying to get B in his executive bag. The great thing about your executive bag is you're not in the forefront.
You
move behind the scenes. You don't have to perform. You don't have to be so performative anymore. I still perform. I have a love of
No, I'm just saying, but I'm just...
I have a passion that I don't know that other people have because I'm an MC.
While most of Joe's battles are waged in a more straightforward fashion, his beef with Charlemagne shows that the podcast host is also willing to use his continued success and resilience in adversity as a weapon as well. If any of these beefs had gone wrong, it might have killed a less determined individual's career. But somehow, someway, no matter how bad things look, Joe survives anything. And before the next person tries to engage with him in a combative way, they should really consider that.